If you would look with me in Psalm 34 again today, we've been looking at a new series we began a few weeks ago that we're calling The Fear of the Lord. The Fear of the Lord. If you have read the Bible much, you've come across these phrases: fear of the Lord, fearing God, those kind of things. And this is not just an Old Testament concept. You'll find these phrases in the New Testament. So what does it mean to fear God? And what is the fear of the Lord? In Psalm 34 and verse 7, it says, "The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear Him and delivers them." Now you'll see something here. The fear of the Lord delivers from the fear of man. This is a great truth. And so if you don't want to be afraid of things in this earth and people in situations, you want to develop in the fear of God. Yes. That will displace and deliver from the fear of man. And you can see part of this right here in this phrase. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them. Well, wouldn't that cause you to not be afraid? Amen. Right? Because you have divine protection. But around the angel of the Lord encamps around everybody on the planet. Well, does everybody on the planet fear God?
No.
No, millions don't even believe He exists or worship false gods. So, no, the angels of the Lord do not encamp round about everybody on the planet, not even close. But they do encamp about those that fear the Lord, and they're not just there just to be there. They deliver them. They deliver them. If you're aware, you won't have to go very far in walking with the Lord to realize times and situations where angels helped you out, where they delivered you. I know Phyllis and I, we've been spared many times. Have you got a testimony?
Oh, yes.
We have been spared many times. I was thinking just then, we were, this was in Tulsa, decades ago. You may be thinking about the same one I am, but we were on this divided highway going in our vehicle, and it had a median, a grass median, and then opposite traffic on the other side. And we saw some dirt and some stuff flying in the air, and here comes a vehicle over the median right into our windscreen. And I mean, there's no time for a long prayer. You know, we called on Jesus. We called on the Lord. And I mean, it looked like milliseconds before it impacted us. It went just like that. Just like that, and didn't touch us. I think an angel was there. I think an angel was there, because there was no reason for it to make that 90-degree turn. The trajectory and the speed was all there to hit us head on. But I'm just saying, things like that, if that had happened, you and I would have never met.
Right?
Right? And this Sarasota, and this was before we had a church in Branson and all that. And the Lord has spared your life and my life many, many times. And a key to that continuing to happen is what? The fear of the Lord. So should we seek to understand what this is and see to it that we develop in this more and more? Keep reading. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him. Somebody say that. That's me. Verse 9 says, "Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. So not only do you get angelic protection, but you don't experience lack. Man, this fear of the Lord sounding better and better. Is that right? It's definitely something we want to do and be a part of. Fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, you children of the Lord, or you children rather, hearken to me. Listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So that's what we are into in these days in the church here. If the fear of the Lord can be taught, then the fear of the Lord can be learned. Right? And so I trust that's why we pray, you know, before the service, and we pray before we get here. And you pray. We're believing that's what we get. We're getting light on this. And it takes utterance to express it and get it out. And it takes revelation to hear it and understand it. But said out loud, I am learning.
I am being taught
the fear of the Lord. Amen. Look with me in the book of Proverbs, the first chapter, Proverbs 1. Now, if you haven't been with us, go to our website online and you can get the previous messages. You can watch them. You can listen to them. No charge. Won't cost you anything. But we are building one upon another. And this is what, number 4 or something like that in our study. So it would help you to have heard the previous things, because we can't cover everything again every time. We're moving on. Proverbs 1 and 7. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Beginning is where it starts. Knowing, and you shouldn't add or take from this, just knowledge, period. Knowing, really knowing things, begins with a proper reverence and respect and fear of the Lord.
Amen.
If you don't, no matter how intelligent or genius level you may imagine yourself to be, your knowledge will mean nothing.
Amen.
People say, well, got degrees in this, got degrees in that. I'm not knocking degrees, but at the same time, that means you were taught something. Was your teacher right? You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
Just because you got a bunch of teaching doesn't mean you are better. You could be worse.
Amen.
Hmm? What were they teaching? Where did they get it?
Yes.
Oh, well, we had a hardcover textbook. So? Somebody wrote it. Did they know what they were talking about? Do you see what I'm saying? Beware. And of course, these days with the internet, oh dear me, there's, you know, I've heard people say, well, did you hear so-and-so? And I said, well, where did you hear it? Oh, it was on the internet. Oh. What does that mean? And especially with AI now. Oh dear me. You know, they could, the computers can fabricate a whole thing.
Right.
Visual,
yeah.
Audio, you know, it looks real.
Yeah.
Sounds real.
Yes.
All the more reason to not believe everything you see,
yes,
or hear, right?
Amen.
Trust the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And everything that you see and hear, don't be quick to jump on it. Go, well, okay, I saw that, but that doesn't mean I know anything.
Right.
Huh? How do I know it's true?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
With God, you want to instantly believe him and not question.
Oh, come on.
With God.
Yes.
Everybody else?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
That's right.
We got questions. Is that right? Everybody else?
Yes.
Examine it. Scrutinize it. You can be slow to believe. People. And that way you won't be quick to be fooled.
That's right.
Quick to be deceived. Help your neighbor out. Say, don't believe everything you hear. Just don't. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. This is a big revelation of what the fear of God is not. Sometimes it'll help you to find out what something is to see what it's not. And the opposite of the fear of the Lord is despising. Despising. Now, despising covers a wider range of things than many think with our modern vernacular. People think, sometimes in modern usage, that to despise something means to hate it, to detest it. Well, that's an extreme measure of it. But simply ignoring something is despising it. Acting like it doesn't matter. Because, you know, our verse that we've got here over the platform, where the Lord said, those that honor me, I will honor. Well, honor is a big part of the fear of the Lord.
Yes.
It's not all of it, but it's a big part of it.
Yes.
And that verse goes on to say, but those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. So despising is the opposite of honoring. And he gives another phrase to describe what despising is. Lightly esteemed. In fact, if you look up the Hebrew words for honor and despise, they basically, the root basic of it is honor is heavy, despise is light. If you honor something, you give a heavy value to it. And back in those days, there was no plastic and no Apple Pay. No swiping. If you wanted to buy something, you had to come up with some metal. Gold, silver. And if you wanted to buy something that was really expensive, we just got through reading it during the offering. That guy had 75-pound blocks of silver because he's hiring an army of 100,000. Well, that's 175-pound blocks. It's what, 7,500 pounds? That's heavy.
Yes, it is.
Right?
Right?
Heavy indicated very valuable.
Mm-hmm.
What's the opposite of heavy?
Light.
Light. And we use the same terminology today. Treat it lightly. To treat it lightly means no big deal.
Right.
Hmm? Well, God is a very big deal.
Yes.
Y'all with me?
Yes.
And the things of God are a big deal.
Yes.
Hmm?
Yes.
The Word of God.
Yes.
Help me out.
Yes.
Yes.
Is a big deal.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit.
Yes. Big deal.
Big deal. The new birth.
Big deal.
Big deal. Healing.
Yes.
Being filled with the Spirit.
Yes.
Gifts and manifestations of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Big deal. Prayer.
Yes.
Big deal.
Yes.
Big deal.
Yes.
Important.
Yes.
Valuable.
Yes.
Weighty.
Yes.
Hmm? So he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools do what?
Despise.
They despise it. Wisdom and instruction. They despise it. Go with me to the book of Numbers, the 12th chapter, book of Numbers, the 12th chapter, you will see the fear of the Lord, or the lack of it, in the way people talk, in the way they speak to people, in the way they speak about people. The fear of the Lord causes you to respect and honor what He respects and honors. But if there's a lack of the fear of the Lord, you don't show the respect. And you feel free to say and do things that treat His things like they're nothing. Just ignore them. How you speak, our mouth will reveal to us where we are in the fear of the Lord. Are y'all awake?
Yes.
Said out loud, Lord, show me, the words of my mouth.
Any adjustments
I need to make to show forth your fear,
your honor,
and not fail to do so. You'll see a failure right here in Numbers, the 12th chapter. And so significant, many people have neglected the Old Testament because they wrongly think it's an out-of-date, irrelevant word. That's a giant mistake. That is doing exactly what we're talking about. Many church-going people actually despise the Old Testament. Oh, they'd argue with you about, oh, go, no, I don't. Yeah, they treat it like it doesn't matter.
Right.
They treat it like it's nothing. They treat it like it's not applicable. It's all passed away. One thing you got to remember, God never changes.
Amen.
Our covenant has changed. Not God. God didn't change.
Right.
He doesn't need to.
Nope.
If He was ever a certain way, He is still that way.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
And so, if you notice in the New Testament, the writers of the New Testament are continually quoting the Old Testament.
Yes.
They're quoting it as current, relevant.
Yes.
Right? Because it is. Well, in Numbers, the 12th chapter, it's a short chapter, this 12th chapter. But verse 1 said, Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. Now, Miriam is Moses' older sister. And Aaron is his brother. So these are family. Brother and sister. And they spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they didn't like it. Miriam and Aaron didn't like it. Now, people have tried to make all kind of stuff out of this. They supposed maybe because she was dark-skinned. She probably was. She's Ethiopian. But I don't know that that was the big deal. I mean, a lot of Middle Eastern people are quite dark-skinned themselves. But probably the bigger issue is that she wasn't Hebrew. Are y'all with me? That she wasn't Hebrew. And, you know, maybe they even thought they had precedent that you're not supposed to marry outside, you know, Hebrew. But apparently Moses and God had talked about this. Y'all going to help me preach this or not? And, you know, what they should have thought is if God's okay with this. Huh? If God likes her. But they completely missed that part. Verse 2. They said, this is Miriam and Aaron. They said, has the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Uh-oh. Has he not spoken also by us? Log these phrases in your memory. These are the phrases of people yielding to wrong spirits. And people who don't fear the Lord, who are lacking in the fear of the Lord. This is exactly what Korah, Dathan, and Abiram said right before the earth opened up and swallowed them up alive. They said, hey, we hear from God too. God speaks to us too. Who put Moses in charge? We all have the Spirit. We hear from God too. It said, and the Lord heard it. He heard what? Them saying, God speaks by us too. Aaron had been much used. He was the spokesperson. Moses would say something to him and he would say it to Pharaoh. Miriam, the Holy Spirit came on her, you know, at the Red Sea, and she played the tambourine and led the song, the Lord has thrown a horse and rider into the sea. But just God, because God uses you a time or two. Y'all with me or not? Does not mean you get to question His choice. And you get to speak against your leadership. To do so is to display an absence of the fear of the Lord. Here's the thing. For those who don't have the fear of the Lord, they talk, they act, they speak like God doesn't hear. Like God doesn't see. Like God doesn't know. If you have the fear of the Lord, you are aware that everything you do, He sees it. You are aware that everything you say, He hears it. Everything you do, no matter if nobody else saw it or heard it, He saw it. He heard it. He knows it. And if you fear God, you keep yourself aware of that, and it will change the way you talk. It'll change the way you speak and act because you are aware. You know, the psalmist said in Psalm 139, he said, where can I go? And you're not there. He said, if I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go to hell, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning, go to the furthest part, the widest sea, you're there. I mean, you know, Jonah tried to run away from God. How'd that work out? And you can go, you get the fastest jet and go to the furthest place and hide behind the palm tree on the deserted island. And as soon as you get there, God will say, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing over here? Help me out, church. Say, God sees.
God sees.
God hears.
God hears.
God knows.
God knows.
And see, if we have the proper fear of the Lord, we act like that.
Right.
Well, see, Miriam and Aaron are having their little powwow council and you know, finding fault with their brother. Mm-hmm. And see, this is what you got to watch out for. See, because isn't that what Jesus, His own family did that with Him, judging after the flesh. People in His own hometown, they did that. They said, isn't this Joseph's boy? Huh? And people think because they know somebody, or they know somebody, you know, and maybe they, you know mistakes that they've made. Well, there's no other kind of people God can use.
That's right.
Right? Sure. Whoever He's using, they have made mistakes. They could make mistakes. But here's the deal. You must respect the truth, the fact that God chose them.
Yes.
If He chose them, regardless of what mistakes they might make or do or not do, you don't want to disrespect God. And the fear of the Lord means you will have that in mind, even if it's people you know well. You'll remind yourself, God chose them. And if God chooses somebody, that's all you need to know about their worth and their value. He sees something in them, you won't see all of it. He sees the heart, and He knows what He's put in them, and He knows what they're wind up to be in the future. And so the fear of the Lord means that you will respect that. And a part of that respect is you will not speak against it. Well, I don't think he got the right woman. Well, who asked you? Why do you think you have a right to analyze it or criticize it? This man talks directly with the Almighty on a regular basis. I reckon if God didn't like his new wife, He could talk to him about it.
That's right. Yep, that's good.
And if he's happy with the new Mrs. Moses, huh? I reckon you should be quiet and go sit down and quit talking about how God uses you too. Remember Korah. Y'all okay? God heard it. Somebody say, the Lord heard it. Now verse 3 said, the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were on the face of the earth. Which you'll see one of the big reasons why God chose him. He had no agenda of wanting to be seen or wanting to be in charge. That wasn't in him. And you'll find that the people who want to be in charge shouldn't be in charge. I'm telling you. Because all they see is some kind of self-glorification. They don't see the responsibility of it. That's another message. But the Lord spake suddenly to Moses and Aaron and Miriam and said, come you three out to the tabernacle of the congregation. That sounds kind of like come out to the woodshed.
Right.
And they three came out. Now I want you to hear what the Lord said. Verse 5. The Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle. So they are talking to the glory cloud that has light inside it. And it was above the tabernacle. And when they walked up to the door, it descended and came down in front of them. And they heard the voice of the Lord speak out of the cloud. And so then he called Aaron and Miriam. In other words, you two. Come here. And so they came forward. How many think right now would be a great time to hit your knees? Come on, yeah, hit your knees. Huh? But they didn't. Verse 6. He said, hear now my words. If there's a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in a vision. I'll speak to him in a dream. Next. My servant Moses is not that way. In other words, he's beyond that. And he is faithful in all my house. That's a giant statement. And this is also one of the big reasons why God chose him. If you read all of God's dealings with Moses, one of the outstanding things, and I mean the verses are just, I guess if you add them all together, hundreds of God told him, gave him details of the tabernacle, of the ark, of the, and it would say over and over again, and as the Lord commanded Moses, so did Moses. He did exactly what he told him to do. That's faithfulness. That's faithfulness. Keep reading. He said, I will speak mouth to mouth with him. Now, let's pause here a moment. What are we talking about? The fear of the Lord.
Right?
Yeah. Right? Yeah. You know already, Miriam and Aaron have made a big mistake.
Right. Yeah.
What was their mistake, though? Huh? Are y'all awake?
Yeah.
They got too comfortable.
Yes.
In their relationship with their brother.
Yes.
Are you listening?
Yes.
And they forgot what he meant to God.
Amen.
Oh, come on, y'all listening.
Yes.
They either ignored, which is the lack of the fear of the Lord. They despised.
Yes.
Come on, can you see this? They despised who Moses is. And Moses is not going to rail at them and straighten them out because he's the meekest man on the planet. He's not trying to tell people they have to listen to him. He's just listening to God. And they got used of the Lord in some things, and it went to their head. And now they think, well, we hear from God too. And? Well, see, they're thinking they're equal with Moses' call.
Yeah.
Right.
And they're nowhere close to his call.
Yes.
And Moses didn't call himself.
Right.
And didn't anoint himself. And so God's taking this personally.
Amen.
That you're speaking against him. Has God changed today?
No.
He's exactly the same.
Yes.
Thank God he's merciful.
Yes.
But you'll see he's done things like we're looking at here as examples for all generations.
Yes.
And it should mean something to us and help us to bite our tongue.
Yes. Thank you.
When we start to speak against somebody, particularly the Lord's called and anointed.
Amen.
Can you see this?
Yes,
well, I think they're making a big mistake. They may be making a big mistake. But do you want to make a Miriam mistake?
No.
And Aaron mistake. he said, if there's a prophet, I'll speak to him in a vision dream. But my servant Moses is not like that. He's faithful in all my house. With him, I will speak mouth to mouth. Even apparently, not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Now, he didn't see the Lord.
Right.
He wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
He pled with the Lord. Lord, he said, I want you to show me, I'm paraphrasing, I want you to show me 100%. And the Lord said, boy, you can't take it. You won't live. I'll let you see my back parts. And prior to that, he hadn't seen that.
Mm-hmm.
But what he did see was a form. He saw a form in the fire. He saw a form in the cloud. And he heard the voice of God. And he spoke to the Almighty like one human speaks to another.
Hallelujah.
Should this be respected?
Yes.
That's a little weak. I said, should this be respected?
Yes.
And we need to understand the difference. Just because somebody's your brother, somebody's your sister, somebody's your spouse, somebody's your co-worker. It's okay to enjoy and have fun with each other and even pick at each other about some things. But you need to know there comes a point where, no, this is the things of God. Show some respect.
Yes.
Right? Show some respect. Don't cross a line here. And one of the big lines you cross is by running your mouth against people and judging. And that's what they had done concerning Moses' wife. This, I mean, if you just think a little bit, Moses is no dummy. Right?
That's right.
He hangs out for a month and a half at a time in the fire on the mountain with the Almighty. This is somebody who knows a thing or two about good and right and wrong and holy and unholy. And this woman who happens to be from Ethiopia. He has come to love this woman. And I suspect she respects him. Are you listening? And loves him. And do you think he didn't ask God about this? Y'all see what I'm saying? They talk on a regular basis. If you just think a little bit, you would say, well, I don't understand that. And I don't think that would have been my choice, but okay, I'm shutting up right now. Huh? I'm serious. What would make you do that? Church, are y'all awake? The fear of the Lord will make you shut your mouth. It'll make you shut your mouth and quit judging and quit finding fault. They say, well, Lord, you know. And I mean, they got this place with you. I'm sure if you want to tell them something about it, you can. You will. He said, Moses is not like other of my prophets. He's in a different level entirely. He and I talk. Oof. Mouth to mouth. He sees my form. Now, look at the rest of the verse. What did it say? Wherefore were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? That's what he wants to know. How were you not afraid to do this? Are we still talking about the fear of the Lord?
Yes.
Yeah, we are. You should have, before you just did this, you should have realized, I better not say anything about that. That's the Lord's man. Right? That's, that's just Bubba. That's just Bubba. And besides that, you know, God uses us too. Not as much as you think. Keep reading. Because think about it. If you did know the Lord as well as you're acting like you do, you wouldn't have done this. So you don't know the Lord nearly as well as you think you do. You're imagining things. He said, how were you not afraid to speak against his wife, to speak against him? Are we talking about the fear of the Lord?
Amen.
Do you and I, we live in a rude, crude, blasphemous world. Is that right? Where nothing is holy. Nothing is sacred. People think they can run their mouth and say anything they want to anybody and call anybody any manner of names. And it has gotten significantly worse the last 40 years. And we're in this dark, ugly world. But we're not of this dark, ugly world. We have the Holy Spirit of the Holy God living inside of us. We are full of His holy words. And we speak in His holy name. And we do not let ourselves be pulled in and sucked in to the mud of the cursing and blaspheming and accusing and judging and speaking against peoples and things that we have no right.
That's right. Amen.
And people can mock us and make fun of us if they want to. But we will stay out of the woodshed. Amen. My grandpa actually had a woodshed. And you did not want to visit behind there with the switch. The anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. Keep going. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked at Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. This was a death sentence. Deadly, terminal disease. Verse 11, Aaron said to Moses, Lord, my Lord, my Lord. Not Bubby. Are y'all away? Huh? My Lord. See, the New Testament and Peter says that Sarah called Abraham Lord. And this is New Testament. And talking about godly women and godly wives. And people hear something like that and they think, if you think I'm calling George Lord, you got another thing. I didn't write this. Why is he calling him? Now, Lord today might be more the equivalent of sir.
Right.
But either way, it's a respectful term.
Right. Yes.
Why? Not because of the man.
Yes.
Are y'all listening or not?
Yes.
Because of God.
Right.
Oh, come on. Can you see this?
Yes.
The respect is not Sarah. At this point, she's lived with this man for what, 8 decades? And why would she refer to him as Lord or my Lord? He's sitting there having lunch with the angels of the Lord who came to visit him.
Yes.
Oh, come on, you see what I'm saying? She's showing respect to God's choice. Not just making an improper deal out of him as a human being, showing respect. The fear of the Lord respects what God respects, values what God values.
Amen.
Still true or not?
Yes.
So here, his brother now is calling him my Lord. He sees, man, we have messed up bad. We have really messed up here.
Yes.
Now, let's back up. How did they mess up? Talking about their brother's wife.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see this?
Right.
And having the audacity to say God used them just as much as he did him.
Right.
Yeah. And they ain't never been on the mountain of fire for 40 days and nights.
Right.
God didn't give the Ten Commandments to them. Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, they got too big for their britches.
There you go.
So he says, my Lord, I beseech you, lay not this sin on us. We have done foolishly. We have sinned. And that's exactly what you should be saying. And don't let her be as one dead of whom the flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb. So this gives you a graphic picture of what they called leprosy. It was living death. You're still alive, but half of your body, your tissue is dead. Now, God did not make her leprous. Are y'all awake or not? I want you to back up in the verse. And look at verse 10. This is very important to understand this. The cloud departed off the tabernacle.
Yeah.
Did Miriam become leprous in the presence of God?
No.
It was after the presence of God had left.
Yeah.
Oh, do you see this or not?
Yes.
Miriam what? Became leprous after the cloud departed. Friend, what she got was a little taste of no protection. God doesn't owe every human being protection. He doesn't owe every human being on the planet a good life. No, he doesn't. He doesn't owe, especially blasphemers and people who reject him and have no respect for him. Why would he owe them protection? He does not. I said he does not. And in this earth in which we live, there's enough germs and bacteria and virus in the air you're breathing right now to kill you 1,000 times over. Huh? There's enough bad stuff in everything you eat, everything you drink, without, you know, since the fall of man, the radiation from the sun can kill you. There's stuff everywhere. The only way you make it is with protection. Go, come here, let it. Protection. 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 And if all God's got, God doesn't have to destroy you. He's not the destroyer. If he just takes his protection off of you, death is everywhere around you. I mean, this is what happened to the Israelites in the wilderness when all those snakes came into the camp. For years, how many know there are snakes in the desert? And for years, they have had no snake encounters. Huh? Until they start griping and complaining and fault finding, and the next thing you know, snakes are coming from every direction and biting and killing people. What? What was the enemy after where Job was concerned? Get the hedge down. Get the protection removed so he could get to him. Now, it's not that God is killing people. He's not the thief. He's not the killer. He's not the destroyer. He's not the thief. But without his protection, it's open season on you. And so, because of what they had done, and the anger of the Lord flared, and when he left, she was unprotected and exposed. And of course, the enemy had just been waiting on something like that.
Yes.
He hit her.
Yes.
But immediately, they need. Aaron did the right thing. And then Moses immediately. You can see one reason why God called him. He holds no grudge. Can you see this? He holds no grudge. He said, Moses cried to the Lord, verse 13. He said, heal her now, God. Heal her right now. I beseech thee. He holds no grudge. Right now, please. And the Lord said, if her father had spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp for 7 days. Think about this a little bit. And after that, you can take her back in. And she was shut out of the camp 7 days. The people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. And afterward, they removed from there. And I think there's another verse below it. And Miriam and Aaron had nothing else to say about Bubba's Ethiopian wife. End of that chapter. Man, and I had four other points. That was just point one.
That's good.
Good point though, huh? Amen. Stand on your feet, everybody. Can you come back next Sunday or the one after?